Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
G'day, dear listeners. You are listening to Israel On My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories here on Israel News Talk Radio. G'day, Ross.
Hello, Jono. How are you?
Doing pretty well, thank you, my friend. The Sea of Galilee is doing good things. Tell us about it.
I tell you, I just saw this. You know, there's been a five-year drought in Israel, but the Sea of Galilee, the water level, is reaching a two-year record high. So it's a little bit of good news. After this five-year drought, basically it says that the water level is going to be about 23.5 centimeters below the lower red line. They have those red and black lines.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, if you go to Tiberias, remember they have that map that's that large interactive map that's posted there. But the water level is going to be basically up year over year about 4.5 feet, 1.405
nice.
Meters.
Okay.
We're still low. And they said, don't get your hopes up because summer, generally the Sea of Galilee evaporates at a rate. This was surprising to me, Jonah, a centimeter every day.
Oh, wow.
So they, yeah, I had no idea, but that's what the numbers are. So it's they're saying basically, look, we go through cycles. We've had more rain than we have historically, but this is still, it's still not a good thing. It's good in the sense that we got more water this year, but, you know, heavy rainy season, they still expect some coming from snow melting in the mountains. But
yeah, because I remember seeing the amount of rain that they had. There was some impressive waterfalls over the winter period. So at least it's a step in the right direction, but it's still too low. Let's hope that it continues to rise. Just before we disappear to the break, there was World Radio Day, Ross. World Radio Day apparently was the 13th of February, just recently passed. UNESCO and the European Broadcasting Union chose the Mattis Yahu song One Day. I love that song, One Day. The English, Hebrew, Arabic version performed in Haifa last February by 3,000 Jewish, Muslim, and Christian Israelis led by Israeli social music movement Kul Olam as the theme song of its 8th edition of World Radio Day Grand. Very, very nice. We've got so much more, dear listeners, coming up right after these messages. Don't go away.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Dear listeners, you are listening to Israel On My Mind with Jono Van Dorn and Ross Nichols here on Israel News Talk Radio. G'day, Ross.
Hello, Jono. How are you?
Doing pretty well, thank you, my friend. There is an article in the Times of Israel. This is a person that we've spoken about on a number of occasions before. His name is Ari Nagel.
Ari Nagel?
Yeah.
Okay.
Otherwise known as the Sperminator.
I do remember this guy.
Right.
I do.
Now this guy has a reputation, evidently by his name or his nickname. He's quite happy to offer specimen to women who just want to get pregnant. Now, this is a good looking guy. He's a Jewish guy, I believe, and he's a math professor. He's got a brain on him. And women are like, yeah, well, if you're offering, and sure, why not? But the headline is, Israeli court bars woman from receiving sperm of U.S. serial donor. It is believed that he has fathered at least 35 children. But it goes on to say, this particular article, Israel's Supreme Court, Ross, has ruled that an Israeli woman cannot get pregnant with the sperm of an American man who has been identified as a serial donor. The court on Wednesday dismissed the request of the unidentified woman, 42, who had in December 2017 asked the private clinic to allow her to use frozen sperm sent to Israel from New York from the math professor Ari Nagel. The clinic said it would neither store nor use his sperm because it would violate health ministry requirement and Israeli law. Thoughts so far?
Well, the first thing I was trying to remember, since it's been a while since I've heard of this guy, did you come up with that nickname, or is that what he's officially
no,
called?
No, this is I didn't come up with this. This is just his. This is his nickname, the Sperminator. It actually goes on. It says Nagel, 42. And dubbed, quote, the Sperminator, and that's linked to other articles, by the New York tabloid press. They gave him this nickname. His father had at least 35 children with sperm he donated free of charge. This guy, he's a freebie. The married father, he's married. The married father of three has previously donated his sperm to six Israeli women, reportedly without the Israeli health ministry being aware of it. So this guy is kind of like, to put it in context, I think he is like the Uber of sperm bank.
Right, right.
What do you think? He's the Uber.
Yeah.
Uber sperm.
I tell you, you know, so, but he's forbidden now. He's not allowed. They've put him out and they said, you can't do this. It's the Israeli Supreme Court weighed in on this, is what you're telling me.
Is what I'm saying. And I'm wondering if there's a challenge to be made, just like Uber. You know, there were certain legal challenges to be made to permit them to compete with conventional, you know, taxi service. I wonder, because this seems to be a thing. Someone brought to my attention someone else who was coming to Australia. Now, this is an Auckland newspaper, News Now. This is the 18th of February, so this is only a few days ago. Sperm donor touring, Ross. He's going on a tour.
Is it the same guy?
Is this a different guy? Touring Australia with goal. This guy's got a goal. It's always good to set goals. The goal of impregnating 2,500 women, right, has been labeled dangerous. Now, it's got to be, you know, I mean, obviously there needs to be health checks in the same way that you wouldn't get into an Uber. You wouldn't get into just some stranger's car. There's got to be some sort of checks and balances by which security is assured and safety is assured.
Well, these guys need an app then. That's what they need. You know, like
they
Uber
need
has
an app. Does some
if
that's...
you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna make a connection between this story and Uber, that's what they need is an app, and it shows your photo and says, you know, your driver will be there at a certain amount of time. That way you don't get the wrong guy.
I tell you what. I reckon there'd be some shady apps around, but they kind of do that. but legitimate apps, you know, there's a dollar to be made there. I mean, if I was tech savvy, I probably still wouldn't. But, you know, there's a dollar to be made there. Now, this particular article goes on and says he has been labeled dangerous and a health risk to women. An international sperm donor with the goal of getting as many women pregnant as possible. Now, this is consensual sex. Women who want to conceive, but without being in a relationship, I suppose. I mean, I don't know, for whatever reason, there are women who put up their hand. Now, in a libertarian sense, why not? Thoughts?
I'm just still stuck on, is this now the other guy, though, the Sperminator, he actually goes through the right channels. It's not about consensual relationship or anything. He goes to a place and leaves a sample, and that's the way that's done.
Well, this other guy
you're talking about, no?
Well, no, it depends. From what I recall in regards to Nagel, sometimes he delivers his sample conventionally, you know, and sometimes it'll be in a cup, or in this case it was going to be frozen and sent from New York. And he does have, I think, a verbal agreement with those whom he does the transaction with, in regards to, you know, should they fall pregnant, then he doesn't
He doesn't have to pay child support.
Basically, yeah. So there's basically an agreement. I personally would think that a wiser thing would be to have something in writing. But, you know, again, this is consensual. This is a contract between two adults. I don't know if this is a I don't know. What do you reckon?
No, I don't know. I don't know either.
We need a rabbi to weigh in on this. Okay, so look.
Yeah, what's the rabbinic decision on this? Is that even legal in a rabbinic sense to
I really don't know. I mean, we would have to dive into Leviticus or something to dissect this, but there's got to be something
Maybe some of our listeners know the deal on this, on artificial insemination. You know, is that, you know, how
or
what's
not.
The ruling on
or not artificial?
I can almost imagine what that would be, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that this is necessarily a good thing or a bad thing, but it's a consensual thing. Why would a government step in and say no? You know, let's do that. I don't know. So anyway, the spermidine has been banned. But
35 years, it's probably time somebody stood up and said, you know what, buddy, that's enough.
Perhaps it seems to be a career move for some people. All right, moving on to something else. What should we move on to?
I don't know. That's what I was trying to think of. What do you move on from?
I have no legitimate segues here. I have nothing that I can easily go to another article off this topic, but definitely needs to be touched on again. It's back in the news.
How about a clean break and just totally shift gears and talk about Israel going to the moon?
Oh, okay, fine. Let's do that.
Is that okay?
Well, I saw there was a little disc that people were talking about.
It's a time capsule.
It's a time capsule. So, in what way is this thing a time capsule? Does it have data stored on this disk?
It's got nano data. It's got the Bible. It's got the Israeli Declaration of Independence, the national anthem, memories of a Holocaust survivor, and children's drawings that are all stored on this handy little disk that will be part of, as I understand it, Israel's first lunar mission in what's called Bereshit. This is the name of the lunar module, right? Bereshit.
Yeah. Now, while we're talking about that, just remind everybody, there is a another story that connects Bereshit with the moon.
Are you talking about? I know what you're talking about. On December the 24th, on Christmas Eve, was it Apollo 12 that sent back the greetings to Earth and mm-hmm. the three astronauts read from Genesis, the first three, the three passages about, and in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and so forth. Yeah, I actually wrote an article about that. I'll have to post the link to that particular article about that, because I think I called it Genesis from Space. Because I always thought that was pretty cool, that these astronauts, of all the things that, you know, can you imagine being that far, looking back at this blue dot, Earth, and thinking about the story of creation as you look back? I mean, that would be probably incredibly moving. I would never do it. I wouldn't get in a – would you? Would you go to the moon?
Oh, man. Put it this way. I still haven't walked up Masada with you.
but speaking of something like that, a big physical challenge, you do have a Fitbit now.
I got a Fitbit. Thanks to Dave and Patty Tyler who sent to me a Fitbit to increase my levels of fitness. Appreciate it.
So you could just start walking, do the Masada challenge, and then when you really get in pretty good shape, you could hike up to the top of Everest.
I do expect that I'm going to be in better shape come this November when we go on the Tanakh tour. By the way, dear listeners, there's still room on the Tanakh tour. We've still got some rooms available if you would like to join myself, Ross, and Rabbi Tavia Singer in Israel this November. Simply go to truth2u.org, and you'll get the details there. But yeah, I've got my Fitbit. I will be I'll be much more fit, I do expect, by November. And maybe I'll join you on the way up to Masada, should we do that.
Hey, that'd be fun. Look, back to Bereshit, just to make sure I tell you this, I think most of our listeners may know this, but Israel, with a successful lunar landing, will be the fourth country, the U.S., the USSR, and China, have all had successful moon landings. And I think the main purpose, as far as the Israeli science group is concerned, is to help us understand magnetic force on the lunar surface. So that's going to be probably pretty interesting.
I'm looking forward to seeing that. And so they're leaving that disc there on the moon as a time capsule. And like you say, only a handful of landings have been made on the moon. I'd want to see like probably hundreds more before I ever considered such a thing. I think people that go to the space station are incredibly brave. All right, we are going to a break. We will be back right after these messages with so much more, dear listeners. Don't go away.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar, she's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things, but at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Welcome back to your listeners. You are listening to Israel on My Mind with Jono Van Doren and Ross Nichols here on Israel News Talk Radio. Ross, there's something I'm kind of proud of, actually, is that in Israel, they have a thing for Australian boots. Boots like, Redback, I think, is a popular brand over there, and Blundstone, really good work boots, but they're kind of a fashion and have gone beyond work boots. You know the kind of boots that are laceless, you kind of slip them on and out to the construction site go or out on the farm or whatever. Well, they're a fashion statement there in Israel. They really like
these. This particular brand is made in Australia, is what you're saying.
Yeah, they're made in Australia. The Redbacks and the Blundstones, they're really cool. And there's a few other brands as well, but I think they're the leading. I think Blundstone's really one of the leading brands of fashion statement in Israel, and you know, they've really the Blunnies have done a good job of it. There's a whole lot of different styles. They really do look good. I've had a few pairs of late, but yeah, I'm really proud as an Australian that there's a great brand that's become very, very popular there in Israel. But there's a there's an article in the Jerusalem Post about boots. Can you?
I saw that, and now the first thought that hit my mind was this was sort of a tabloid thing. It wasn't really true. But the more I dug into it, Jono, and I guess you probably saw the same thing, this is real. We need to alert our listeners that this is actually a story. It was published. Are you talking about the story in J-Post, the Jerusalem Post, about Hamas's claim?
Well, the one I'm looking at, it really doesn't have, maybe you've got more information on this, but it doesn't have this too much information. It says a Fatah breakaway group in the Gaza Strip claimed its members have intercepted a shipment of military boots equipped with, quote, secret electronic tracking chips that were on their way to the market, according to Palestinian news source. Now, there's a photo of a particular boot. I don't even know what kind of boot that is. And then there's a photo of some sort of electronic device, and there's a tweet from Hamas. Israel sent us shoes equipped with secret electronic tracking chips to spy on us. Now, I'd like to think that is actually true, but that's all the information that we got. Do you have more information?
No. I mean that's it basically. Hamas is claiming that these bugged boots, which I like the way that's put, the bugged boots are meant to spy on the terrorist group Hamas, you know? And so this suspicious shipment, as it came through Kerem Shalom crossing, they were seized, and upon inspection, evidently, at least the claim is that they found bugs in these boots. Now, let me ask you, though, you know, I've seen a lot of these reports. Remember, they thought dolphins were spying on them, and they found birds of prey with bracelets on, which is probably just some conservative.
Oh, the vultures.
There's some conservationist group is just tracking vultures.
Or the sharks in Egypt.
The sharks.
All sorts of
So I wonder, is it that, or is it, you know, is it something real? Maybe the Israelis thought they could sneak some boots in to spy, but
it's hard to tell because the only thing, it goes on to say that the shipment of suspicious shoes came through the Kerem Shalom crossing. It was sent by the breakaway group to Hamas to examine. Some Palestinian online news sources claim that Hamas said Israel was behind the shipment and was trying to spy on members of the, quote, Palestinian resistance. I'd like to think that that is true, but I also wonder, just looking at the photo, if this is maybe some sort of shop security device, you know, when you go out of the shop and it goes beep, 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 beep if you haven't paid for it.
Right. I mean, Could be.
Who can tell? I don't know.
It might be. I guess there's more to follow up on this. Let's see if they find it, or it might just kind of disappear from the news.
Now that I've said this, I've only just looked down. I mean, there's comments in the Jerusalem Post there, and then someone has said, this seems to be one of those anti-theft tags that make detectors beep if you try to get out of the store without paying.
So it might be.
I reckon that's probably more likely the case, although I do like the idea that Israel's sort of tagging items of clothing just to keep track of people. Don't know.
And I tell you, hey, speaking of that side of Gaza and Abbas, and, you know, I saw an article in J-Post. Abbas spokesman says that Israel is withholding funds and this will have great consequences. Did you see this article?
Oh, because now this is in response to the pay for slay. Am I right that Israel has said, well, we will withhold tax revenue to counter that which is being paid to terrorists for murdering Jews? Do I understand that they should.
Yeah,
oh, of course they should.
After the U.S. put this Taylor Force Act in place and you know, the U.S. ultimately withdrew all funding from the PA. Well, the PA is now saying, get this, their threat is, okay, you want to hold back money from us? We're not going to take any money. You're not going to get any money. What do you mean you're not going to take any money? But here's the deal. A half billion shekels have been withheld basically because of pay for terror. And so the PA is now saying that because Israel is going to withhold this, that they're not going to accept any money from Israel, which right now amounts to $100 million per month in funds if they're deducted. In other words, if they hold back, they're saying, we're not going to take any of your money. I say, who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, what is the deal here? But anyway, Hussein al-Sheikh is Abbas's spokesperson in this case. Says, we are a people under occupation, which is the ugliest form of terrorism. This is his definition of ugly terrorism. I have a different one, but... Yeah. He says, we have the right to liberty and independence. They go on to say that Israel holding back this money because they will not stop, that the Palestinians will not stop paying for slay. They now, the Palestinians, are saying that this is robbery of Palestinian people's money, a violation of agreements. They call it an act of piracy, brazen robbery, and a form of shameless political extortion. Can you believe the gall?
Isn't it amazing? As if they have the right to murder people in cold blood, and they refuse to do anything about it, so much so that they would shoot themselves in the foot.
Talk about brazen. I mean, it's unbelievable to me that they would say that Israel is the one who's being brazen in this. I mean, the fact that they continue to say, look, we're going to pay these terrorists and their families, and I think it's crazy.
It is crazy.
And I'm so glad that the rest of the world is waking up to this.
Oh, man, and I hope it continues to be the case and that people will stop contributing tax dollars in the under the guise of foreign aid to places that funnel it back into terrorist pockets. So,
speaking of countries standing up against such craziness, wasn't ScoMo, Scott Morrison, wasn't he just in the news this week for a strong stand for Israel?
He did. It's been interesting. So both ScoMo and the opposition leader gave a speech in Parliament commemorating the 70 years of diplomatic relations between Australia and Israel. But I have to say, both speeches were very good for different reasons. At the same time, there were aspects of both speeches which kind of grated on me. One, of course, Scott Morrison reiterated his idiotic move to, and I have to say it's idiotic. For me, I mean, look, people look at this and you got to decide whether the cup is half empty or the cup is half full. For me, it's kind of half empty in this case when he decided that he would recognize West Jerusalem as the as the capital of Israel, as if there's a difference between east, west, north, and south. He decided, let's, you know, West Jerusalem, and he has not committed to moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to at least West Jerusalem. So until he says there is a quote unquote two state solution, and it appears that both the government that be and the opposition are holding to a two-state solution. Now, Bill Shorten did give... Now, okay, so ScoMo really laid into the UN and the bias of the UN against Israel, and points to ScoMo there. He really did well. Bill Shorten, the opposition leader, he went right back to 1917, the role that the Australian Light Horse Brigade played in liberating Beersheba. We were there for the centenary there. Commemoration. We were there, and I think he was there too. I know both of them. I do believe have been to Israel on a number of occasions, and there was that, and he was right to highlight that, and various other links as far as Israel and Australia are concerned. But again, reiterated the two-state solution and justice for the Palestinian people. And at that, he received a cheer from his backbench.
I mean, that's the global position. And I think most people think, at least those who haven't really studied the full situation out, that's the global position, and I think most people feel like it is the right thing to do. Certainly, you and I have a different view, but we probably have been exposed to quite a bit more in terms of studying the history of the region. And
I guess so, but you would really hope that before the leaders of the leading parties would give speeches, that they too might do a little bit more research, particularly when, Ross, and we've spoken about this particular organization before, the Australian Jewish Association, whom I really do see eye to eye with, led by Dr. David Adler, have explained how a two-state solution is no solution and really stands behind Israel as far as that's concerned, and that Jerusalem as a whole is the capital of Israel. So if Australians or anyone, in fact, wanting to get on board with a movement that doesn't pander to such ideas, the Australian Jewish Association, AJA, you'll find them on Facebook.
Yep, that's right. I was going to say one more thing before we go to break. I saw in the news just either today or yesterday that Netanyahu told the French leader, is it Marson?
Macron.
Yeah, study the Bible. You'll see that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. So who knows? You know, there's a lot going on in France right now. Maybe we can pick up with that, or at least let people know that, hey, I think the Israeli government officials are working hard on the countries of the world to say, hey, recognize Jerusalem, move your embassy here.
True. Got to do it. We're going to another break. We will be back right after these messages. Dear listeners, don't go away.
In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobiker, your political hitman.
Political Hitman airs every Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. North American time, 7 a.m. Israeli time, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On The Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to Israel on My Mind with Jono Van Dorn and Ross Nichols here on Israel News Talk Radio. We went to the break talking about, well, you mentioned, Ross, what was happening in France. Of course, there was video footage of a rather violent verbal abuse of a Jewish philosopher in yep. Paris. That went viral. And as a result, what happened, Ross?
Well, first of all, this and this is what surprised me. The particular person that was being attacked verbally is very left-leaning. So you'd think that they would be kind of supportive. But this virulent anti-Semitic vitriol that's just pouring out in the streets, it's really, really bad. In fact, Macron has said that this is the worst that that France has seen this anti-Semitism. Look, there are a lot of rabbinic and religious leaders in France that are just saying, we don't know how long we can hold out.
Yeah.
I think it's just, it's really, really bad. Now, there are
a lot of efforts. But as you say, he was quick to pounce on that, at least. That's, you know, that's points in his favor, yeah.
He was. So I think that we really have to keep an eye on this. I mean, Europe in general is seeing sort of a sharp increase in anti-Semitic acts, and we kind of have to watch
worldwide.
That. But I think
worldwide,
it's going to happen. Yeah, worldwide. But I think it's going to drive more and more people to make Aliyah, and you know,
you
not
hope
that
so.
You know, I do. I hope they move to Israel.
Hope so. But as a result of Macron coming out and condemning the footage that went viral, there was a protest in, I believe it was in Paris, that attracted
That's
thousands
right.
coming out in opposition of anti-Semitism. So that was also encouraging. However, as you mentioned, the fact remains that anti-Semitism is on the rise. Speaking of which, here's a couple of interesting things. Arut Sheva, this is BDS fail. Muslim congresswoman uses Israeli technology. Now, this is off the back of a video made by the Israel Advocacy Movement. Again, people, get on your Facebook and like that page, because they often come out with really, really good little videos. And this particular video, they explained not just Rashida Tlaib, not just the fact that she uses
Wix.
Platform?
Wix. Wix to do her website. Isn't that funny?
It really is, because it's Israeli. Wix is an Israeli platform for websites. But he lists a whole lot of people that are quote-unquote BDS supporters, anti-Semitic protesters, so on and so forth, that use the Israeli website platform Wix.
It's getting so I love these stories. BDS fails are among my favorite stories to read, because it's getting harder and harder. What we have is Israel is an innovative genius on the planet, and more and more and more things that are just remarkable, and they're changing the way that people live around the globe. More and more of these discoveries and inventions and innovative things are coming out of Israel. Yeah. So it's getting harder and harder for these BDS people who hate and supposedly oppose everything Israeli. It's getting harder for them to miss. So, you know, I mean, here this Tlaib, this Democrat from Michigan, she wants to, you know, speak bad words about Israel, and she's designing her website with Wix. I tell you, there's another BDS fail that I thought was really great. It shows this Dutch anti-Israel activist.
Right.
He's disabled, and he's riding this scooter, and he's got a buddy next to him who also has a Palestinian, you know, shirt on or something. Mm-hmm. And this guy is a regular. His name is Robert Willem van Noren, Dutch anti-Israel activist. He gets on his little scooter, and he goes to Amsterdam's Dam Square three times a week. He's dedicated. You got to give it to the guy. He's dedicated.
Right.
I'll get out. And he rides his little scooter out there, and he waves Palestinian flags and, you know, denounces Israel's occupation.
And promotes the BDS and so on and so forth.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the irony is,
he's riding what's called a Breeze S3 Kol Ma'ot brand, I think is the way you pronounce that, assembled at Kibbutz Afikim in the Jordan Valley. So he was called out on this. I mean, here you can't. Look, you can't be a BDS king riding on your Israeli-made tricycle.
You can't do that.
Now, look, it said that before he had a different trike, but he upgraded. You know, whenever you want to upgrade to a different scooter, you got to be careful.
Well, this is the thing. Whenever you upgrade anything, you're probably going to end up with something Israeli. I mean,
that's right.
He's done this unknowingly, I suppose he would say, I don't know what his response was being called out on it. Maybe he would have to say, I didn't know.
I don't know, but he certainly ought to be looking for another trike. Either that or, you know, I don't know what you say.
Go back to the one you had.
Look, they have photos of these people holding, you know, in Palestinian territories, and they're drinking sodas that come from Israel.
I mean,
you can't do that. You got to get straight. Look, if you're going to denounce everything Israeli, you need to play by the rules.
You got
to
play by the rules.
Put your smartphone down. Yeah.
Don't be a hypocrite.
It's crazy.
Don't be a hypocrite.
I think it's funny. I think it's funny.
It is funny. What else we got?
Hey speaking, I was just going to say other anti-Semites in the news.
Go on quickly.
Khamenei.
He got banned by Twitter. That's right. We were talking about this, you know, being banned by Twitter and so on and so forth last week. Why? How did he get banned by Twitter?
He put out, he was just trying to remain. Remember Salman Rushdie put out the satanic verses many, many moons ago?
Yeah, in the 80s or something.
There was a fatwa issued against Salman Rushdie. And he just wanted to remind Mr. Rushdie, hey, look, these fatwas are based on divine verses, and it's solid and irrevocable. And Twitter said, you know what, Khamenei, you can't say stuff like that. We're going to put you in timeout. And they're going to keep him there until he, I guess, takes it down or apologizes. And I just don't see that happening. So,
he just took the opportunity just to remind Salman that, you know, we've still got a hitman looking for you.
That's right. Yeah. And this is what gets me about these rabid anti-Semites and these crazy loons. You know, they just, they don't get that it's wrong in 2019 to tell people we're going to bump you off. They don't see it. But look, he's not the only anti-Semite. You know, Farrakhan's in the news. This Nash, what is it, Nation of Islam leader?
Tell me about that. Because I've seen a lot of news like that. So this is I mean, you've got some crazy characters over there in your country, Ross. Explain this one to me. Come on.
All I know is that this lunatic Farrakhan, he is the Nation of Israel leader. He has an annual Savior's Day, and he generally takes this opportunity. Well, anytime the guy gets a microphone or a newspaper reporter, he takes the opportunity to bash out or lash out at Israel and bash the Jewish people. So in this particular Savior's Day speech, whatever that means, he makes it a point to bring up that the wicked Jews are behind the attacks on the Women's March leadership. But they didn't stop there. During Savior's Day, they also accused those wicked Jews of owning the Federal Reserve. These are all old lies that just, you know, they just keep coming back to the surface. Of instituting sharecropping and inventing pedophilia. I mean, what?
Inventing
this
pedophilia.
That's right. That's right. You got to put that on your list.
Wow. But this is a guy that is looked up to by so many, I know, and some, including some of your leading politicians. So, it's concerning.
He's taken, you know, it's whenever you see a photo op, anybody that's taking a picture with this guy, I quickly just cross them off the list of being sane. I mean, who would do that? It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Absolutely nutty. We've got a few more minutes. Can we go back to Gaza for a second? Because I'm back in the Times of Israel, and I see an article entitled, "In the Gaza Strip, a Pet Lion Declawed." What have you seen this? This is a zoo in Hamas-run Palestinian enclave tries to draw visitors by letting them play with a 14-month-old, they've called it Palestine, is the name of the lion.
Yeah.
Animal rights activists condemn the situation. Now, I understand that some lion cubs recently died due to a lack of care in Gaza. Gaza blamed the weather, but it's not as if the weather, you know, you didn't know it was cold in winter. What, I don't understand. That was very sad. I think there were three of them. At the same time, if I remember correctly, there was a hippopotamus or a rhino, a rare rhino that was born in the Jerusalem Zoo. Very, very cute. But now they're in an attempt to increase traffic in the zoo, they've declawed a lion and have said to people, hey, come play with the lion. I mean, I suppose you could declaw, but it still has teeth. I'd be a little bit concerned about that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I just can't see a zoo in Gaza taking care of its animals. And you know, because if you think about it, they don't even allow dogs to wander the streets. So they're not really...
Can't take your dog for a walk.
I just can't get that. Yeah, so here's the deal. Maybe, just maybe, cruelty to animals might get the world's attention as to what type of people are running that Gaza Strip.
Maybe.
Even if they won't pay attention to the mistreatment of humans.
Well, you know what? I would be very, very surprised if that was the case. I know what you're saying, and it's certainly a possibility to get the animal activists on board and to protest against what's happening in Gaza. But when Gaza went and burned thousands and thousands of tires and flew flaming kites over into Israel and burned all the crops and forests and everything, where were the activists then? We didn't see them then. Why would we see them now?
Don't see them. Crazy. It's a crazy world. Topsy-turvy.
Topsy-turvy, yeah.
I got one thing. Maybe we have a quick minute. You've heard about this cable car to the Kotel. Did you see that this is it's met a little bit of a problem? Did you see this?
It really has. Do you know what? Maybe we should launch into that next week because there's a bit of Bible to get into there. We have to get biblical. Give us in 30 seconds. Give it to us.
Okay. Just in a nutshell, they want to run this this cable car. Yeah. But there's a problem because there is a cemetery mm-hmm. along the proposed route. And we have to talk about this.
It's a Karaite cemetery. It's a Karaite cemetery. And it comes down to a theological position concerning a roofed cemetery, like whether it should be, whether it shouldn't. And this is what might be holding up the progress of this cable car, and perhaps rightly so. I reckon we should touch on this next week.
Let's do it. In the meantime, people can check our Facebook page. We've run out of time, Jonathan.
Run out of time. Thank you so much to your listeners. We hope you will join us again next week. And until then, have a great one.
Have a beautiful week.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Karras from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.